Hello, you're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. We're so excited that you're joining us to listen. This week's podcast is from our Sanctuary Sunday, where Pastor Fred and Pastor Andrew speak and share with us on the heart behind giving toward our new facility and the principles of generosity and sowing into our future as a church and into a legacy and generations. We hope that you are blessed by this and enjoy the message.
So good. So great to be here this morning. So great to have Pastor Andrew and Jan Staggs in the house. Come on, let's honor them. So good. You're going to hear from them a bit later. They're part of our external governance system and just family to us as a church. And so thank you for being with us on your weekend. Could have been anywhere. Literally probably could have been anywhere in the country, to be honest. But praise God. So I'm going to talk for a couple of minutes and introduce Pastor Andrew to come up. But really, you know, today, yeah, sure, there's elements to do with finance, but really today's about God and today's about people. And what his church could do if they were trusting, obedient, and generous under his name. Amen? And so really quickly, I just want to read you the verse that, you know, we've been talking about since January, really. Exodus 25:8 says this: "Have them construct a sanctuary for me so I would dwell among them." And I love that that's the intent. The intent is not have them, it doesn't say have them construct a sanctuary for me so they have more room, or have them construct a sanctuary for me so that they have a bigger foyer, all things that are great. It's have them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. And our heart's cry is that with this new facility, the Lord already dwells with us here at Gleason, but there would be a bigger space. There would be an Isaiah enlarging of our capacity to meet with God with more people. That more of God's kids could come to the family reunion. Amen? Amen. So I want to give you just a real quick update on some progress around Williamsbury Drive, which is our new facility. So we have signed the lease. Praise God, which is great. So good. Nathan is a negotiatory, that's not a word, but animal. He has done so well. Next year, we'll actually be paying the same rent in the new facility that we pay here. So not entirely sure how he's pulled that off. I think he threatened someone, but the council progress is well underway and we've seen some great favour there. They've actually said things to Nathan like, we're so excited to have a church in the area. It's going to be so great. And so the Lord's really breathing on council men and women and also on town planners. And so praise God. Favour ain't fair, but we'll take it. We've secured a fit-out manager and a project manager for the fit-out project, which is huge. A man called Steve Hilder from Adelaide, he works with Futures Church, and we've engaged him to help us with the process. And so it's all happening. It's very exciting. I really quickly want to run you through, and I preached this at Sanctuary Sunday at the start of the year, but I want to run you through quickly why the three reasons why this matters, not to us, because you know why it matters to us, but why it matters to God. The first one is locations and land matter to God. God's first gift to Adam was not Eve, it was Eden. God told Abram, go to a new land. God told Moses he would give him the promised land. God told Joshua, I'll give you the land your feet tread. God promised in Chronicles to heal the land. God told Jeremiah, I bought you this land. God told Isaiah, your people will repossess the land. And God told Paul which land to go to next. Locations matter to God. Of course, we are the church and wherever we are, God is there. But there is something innately scriptural and biblical about God residing in a place. About us sacrificing and creating an altar where, hey, God, would you come and meet with us here weekly? Would you come and meet with us weekly? Would you heal this land? Lord, would we be a conduit? Would we be a Jacob's ladder where you would come and the ripple effects of peace, righteousness, and joy would go out across a region? Amen?
Amen.
Locations and land matter to God. Number two, buildings matter to God. This one surprised me when I looked into it, but he said in Exodus, construct a sanctuary for me. Construct a place. In Exodus 25, he says, you must make the tabernacle and design all its furnishings according to the pattern I show you. In 1 Chronicles 28, it says, King David rose to his feet and said, listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And I made plans to build it. I love that what Nathan shared this morning, leaving the building for the first time. I remember leaving the building for the first time. And, you know, my overall faith for a move was up here, but my specific faith for that building was lower than the pulpit. Like it was low. And I remember being like, Lord, this is like, can you provide us with like a $5 million brand new building? And I felt the Lord say this, I can. And I was like, oh, praise God. And he said, but I won't. I said, but why? He said, I wouldn't dare rob you of the maturity and growth your church will experience as you go on this process. Right? It's kind of clapworthy, but it's also like, I'll still take the brand newy. You know what I'm saying? Buildings matter to God. Number three, and this is obviously the most important one, people matter to God. I believe that the entire reason this building, this new building, will help us to give more, worship more, invite more, bless more, teach more, encourage more, host more, and care more. That's what it's about. It's not about church size, influence, KCW, Fred Porter Ministries, cafes and nice foyers, or seeming epic. It's about none of those things. And sometimes if we're not careful in the Western church, it can become about that. We're doing things to impress other churches and other pastors, not to win the lost. And so it's important that in this process, that this journey we're endeavoring on, which really, I guess, the first big step, the first contraction happens today, that we make sure we keep the main thing the main thing. Yeah. And the main thing is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and the main thing is His sons and daughters that are prodigal in that region, that we would have a better space for them to meet Jesus. Amen? Amen. I want to give you a quick run through. Some of you have seen this, but some of you might have been away, or maybe you've joined the church since January or February. So we're going to go through the renders. The other thing I just want to say is there's a booklet. Paige has done up an amazing booklet. So I think we've got a booklet graphic with the QR code. So if we could put that up, it's at the very, very start. Some of you don't have internet in here, but I encourage you, just do the thing where the QR code comes up, because you can look at it later. The other thing is, this afternoon, we're going to send that booklet out to everyone on our database, so which is going to be amazing. It just has a scope of works, exacts, so you can peruse that this afternoon, but because we don't have 3 hours, we won't go through all of that today. All right, media team, let's go through the renders quickly. We just want to get a little bit excited, you know what I mean? Oh my goodness, look at the front of the church. It's amazing. Very, very exciting. Oh, look at that. That's we're going quickly. Okay, just pause there. So that's the foyer. These rooms here on the side, they're going to be counseling rooms during the week, but on Sunday that's going to be a creche. So we've got a parents' room, creche, 3 kids' rooms. We need room for kids, man, which is going to be great. And then obviously the cafe area, which is, it's just important to have coffee. It is important. Next one, which is great, that's the auditorium, which is going to be awesome. I'm so excited to be able to fit more people. Felicity's coming amazing. For a second, I was looking to call security. I was going to be like, but I was confident. I'm like, she's not that big. if I was getting attacked, it's fine. So that's going to be the main auditorium, which is great. Just excited to be able to fit more people in the house of God. Excited to be able to have events and things where there's just, we're not all, and we love each other, right? But we're not all bumping into each other, prams going into things. It'll be great to have a little bit more space. Next one, praise God. These are our kids' rooms. These are upstairs, which is amazing. I don't think there's gum trees on the other side of the window. So I just want to admit that we're lying to you there. you know, me and Nathan were like, we need to make the outdoor area seem nicer, so there's gum trees. But that's going to be great. 3 different age groups. And also, you can't see, but over basically here, there's a toilet block upstairs that will be just for the kids on Sundays, which is really great and great from a health and safety perspective. I think that's everything. Is that everything? Praise the Lord. Oh, parents' room. Praise God. So that's great. This is downstairs. We've got a parents' room here. We've got Po Kung Fu Panda in there as well. And parents' room. And then this here is a door going into a quiet room. So we'll have a room for parents to watch the service and feed and kids to play, but also a quiet room where if your young one is like wanting to sleep, that'll be the room for that. And so really what we're trying to do is we're trying to create space, create room for a bigger community, which is going to be phenomenal. I was actually hoping that when we moved to the new facility, we'd move back to 2 services, but it's your fault because you're all coming to church and inviting people to church, probably not a thing. But I can't tell you, like, I am just so excited for what the Lord would do. And what's funny is, I think sometimes people think that when you're a pastor or the senior pastor, you can see way more clearer and way more further ahead than everyone else. Sometimes you're like, man, I see it. God's revealed it to me in an open-eyed vision and I just know what's happening. Sometimes I'm like 1 step ahead of you. I'm like, well, how's it all gonna work? Totally. is amazing. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Yeah. You know, how's this thing going to work with the build? I'm like, ask Nathan. I'm not fully sure. But it's so exciting. And I mean this, to go on a journey of faith together. Because I think sometimes in church, right? And there's different times and seasons, but we don't go on a journey of faith. We go on a seat of stagnation. And we just come to church and we do church. And I think this kind of thing, outside of all the positives of it, I think it's great for us as mature believers. I think it's great for our spirit to be like, Lord, stretch me out of my comfort zone again. Lord, help me pioneer again. So I'm really excited for what God's going to do today. But now we are going to hear from the bishop himself, Pastor Andrew Stagg. So I would love you to stand, if you would, and welcome Pastor A as he comes to say, come on, give him a huge, huge, huge welcome. Come on, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going.
Oh, take your seats. Wow, it's a real privilege for my wife, Jeanne, and I to be here to leave you a couple of thoughts here. Friends, you're on the verge of a brand new season in the life of your church, and there's no going back, all right? You guys are committed. So can I say, I believe I'm looking at a bunch of very courageous people right now, and I believe there are some of you who are very timid right now, but you're going to grow in your courage in this season. And that's okay, because my wife and I have been through a series of faith and courage seasons in relation to the expansion of churches and ministries that we have been part of. Can I say it's very rare for people to fully understand what God is doing in a particular season. Many of us look back like Jacob did after the stairway to heaven moment and have a get a clue moment. Surely God was in this place, but I did not even realize it. So for some of you, you feel like you're caught in the slipstream of a vortex of vision that's going somewhere, and it's okay to feel like you've lost your bearings sometimes, but you're trying to trust God, open your heart and mind to a brand new idea, and then trust your pastors as him and the leadership team are moving you through. So I want to give you an interpretive key, a couple of things to help you navigate what God is doing in your life right now. One thing I love about people who are filled with the Holy Ghost, who live the Spirit-filled life, who have a Spirit-filled spirituality, is we really believe in encounters with God. There are other versions of faith streams that think that God is a God who existed in a book a long time ago, but we're the people who believe in the now living Word of God. So encounter is our jam. Now, for some of you, I want to quickly unpack what it is now. I've been doing some thinking for a lot of time, and I believe there are five encounters which God leads us through, and some of you may identify with one of those where you're at right now, and you've got to go, oh, the lights are going to come on. The first one is this one. There's a kindness encounter, and many of us have had this before we said yes to Jesus. We are so overwhelmed with the grace and mercy of God that all of a sudden our struggle with guilt and shame is no longer there, because we're overwhelmed that there's a kind God who is going to give us more than what we deserve. That's why I love the ministry of Red Frogs. It's out there showing random acts of kindness, and people go, God could love, and people's hearts and minds are open to the possibility that their bodies are enveloped with love, which is the next one, is a presence encounter. I've had a massive one this morning. That song selection is world class. Like, I feel like I want to up my pledge right now, okay? Because what happens is we're effective emotional beings. Some people can understand God. Not the whole world is not run by Caleb Shepherds. He's worked God out. Like, he's logically worked God out. And I'm bringing you back into the fold, because dancing's okay, mate, okay? But like, the end of the day is, very few of us have ever understood God on the journey. But I know this morning, if you're here and you don't even know Jesus yet, I can guarantee you can feel him right now in this room. And you can feel his presence coming around you. The third encounter we need to have is a truth encounter. When all of a sudden we read the Word of God and our spirit leaps, because we know that to be truth, capital T, truth. Pastor Fred and Anna and the team, when they're preaching the Word of God, it comes out and you know that it is truth with a capital T coming out. And your spirit resonates, you feel God, and it shifts something in you. It's one thing to know God and to feel God, The other thing is we need the power of God to experience the power of God to activate that truth. For Philippians 2, it talks about Holy Spirit dwelling within us to give us not only the desire to be like Jesus, but also the power to be like Jesus. This is a church that believes in the power of God. We're laying on of hands. Sometimes if you've been in a head-on smash in life and you're in an intensive care unit, you don't need to go to rehab, Ned. You need a shot of morphine right then just to stop the pain, to settle you down so healing can start. It's one thing I love about the power of God. It is the presence of God right there to help you in that moment of need. That's why I love the anointing. The hardest one, friends, and the clapping's going to drop a little bit right now. The fifth encounter we need to have regularly in our cycle of our engagement of God and transformation is an allegiance encounter. Wow. Where something deep happens subterranean in our heart. Wow. Where Jesus is no longer your Facebook friend, but he is your Lord, and he is your Savior, and he is your teacher. Now, this is in the deep area of our life, our decision-making center, where words like obedience, surrender, and sacrifice are native. And they're words that we don't like to say. And this is the area of the control, the lordship of our life. And as we start to have these allegiance encounters, it's like you put a sticker over that part of your life and says, I'm under new management. I've signed over the rights of my life so that I can become more and more like Jesus. Kindness, presence, truth, power, allegiance. And those encounters cycle through our life right now. And I reckon all five of them are in play as you're coming into this wonderful new season of faith and courage and moving forward as a church. In the area of allegiance, one of the biggest challenges I've seen with people in the area of allegiance is in the area of finance and money. Now, money's not everything, but I agree with Zig Ziglar. It's right up there with oxygen on the must-have list. And Jesus knew that money has this amazing way to try and steal the allegiance of our heart and move us to a place of where God wants us to be. Have a look at on the screen, a quick analysis of the parables of Jesus. Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven and hell combined, in fact, twice as much. 16 out of Jesus' 38 parables deal with money. 5 times more is said about money in the New Testament than about prayer. While there are over 500 verses on prayer and faith alone in the New Testament, there are over 2,000 verses dealing with money and possessions. This is an area, friend, where God wants to be Lord and be Savior. If I analyze all 66 books of the Bible, and when you learn how to interpret the Bible, and there's a Bible college, I believe, on a Monday night, which goes, I'm not here to sell a court. But when you understand the Bible, one of the grand narratives of the from Genesis through to Revelation is this principle of stewardship. Is there anyone in the room here called Stuart? Have we got a Stuart in the house? Do we have a Stuart? No. Stewardship is not about Stuart, our new friend in the house. But stewardship is not a financial program, but it's this. It's the responsibility of managing some assets or affairs or properties in relation to somebody else. This is a grand narrative, and this is one. Stewardship is one of the gifts of revelation that God has given us for how to make sure we have these 5 encounters all rotating and we become more like Jesus. Look at this continuum I've developed besides. I've worked with some other people and adapted this. In relation to stewardship, you could say that there's 5 levels. You've got first-time givers, regular givers, tithers, generous givers, and then going for gold, extravagant givers. This is part of a big teaching I do, and you can find it on YouTube because I've done a lot of work in state high schools around money and finance and helping young people be strong in that area. But have a look on the next slide. This is quickly what stewardship is all about. Big idea is number one, God owns it all. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything and everyone who lives within it. For some of you, this is a like a drop the microphone type moment. like a steward looks after something that belongs to someone else. So when God leads us into a season of giving and generosity, you realize it's not my resource, it's yours. The second principle is this: God entrusts me with some. He lets me to keep some. And number three, he gives me the freedom to choose how I use it. It's what good parents do. They don't helicopter over their parents' kids all the time, but they trust them to gain strength till you learn how to manage your time, your talent, your treasure, your sexuality, your body in ways that are pleasing to God, which reflect increasing levels of allegiance to God. The fourth thing is this one: God blesses me and others when I exercise good stewardship. In a campaign like this, a faith campaign like you're in a church right now, sometimes it's more than just the money. It's about what God is wanting to do in your life and how he wants to position you for your next in the area of the blessing that God wants to get to you. Can we go back to the continuum right now? I remember at the age of 12, my church, as a 12-year-old boy, was going through a season like you're going through now. I've just come into high school, and this is the Garden City Christian Church, which is now Hillsong, that epic auditorium, 2,500 seats. I remember running along in youth group and falling down one of the trenches they're pouring concrete. It's like 8 feet deep down there. I could have been buried alive. But our church had a campaign, buy a brick. And I remember as a young boy, I raised $53 worth of gifts. And I brought, it was a dollar a brick. At the age of 12, back in 1982, 53 bucks was a lot of money. So me, I would consider myself then a first-time giver to the house of Lord at the age of 12. At the age of 14, my dad sat us down on a Saturday morning and said, guys, you've got 1 hour. Boys, go through the Bible and see what it says about giving and generosity. And I came up with this principle in the Bible called the tithy. I remember thinking, this thing called the tithy. And I think, this is awesome. 10%. My pocket money back then was $1. My dad said, what's 10% of that, son? What's the tithe? 10 cents. I put 10 cents in the next day. And I came home from church and there's a message from a guy down the road, Russell. He just got his car. He said, mate, I got a bike. It's a bike that I wanted. He said, I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you. And that bike was worth $350. And I'm walking back into the home with my bike. My parents helped me discern what God was doing in my life. And they said, Andrew, how much money did you put in the offering this morning? I said, I'm a tither now. I'm a 10%, a 10 cents. What's the bike worth? $350. My mum said, Andrew, press down, shaking together, running it over. My allegiance shifted that day. I had a truth encounter. I put the word of God into action and I experienced the kindness of God that day. I could feel his presence and I'm thinking, I'm never going to look back on this journey of faith. I remember receiving the kindness and blessing of other people. A man came up to my church. I'm a young married guy and he shook my hand, and men know how this works. You slip someone a crumpled up 50 buck note. He said, take your wife out for dinner and bless her this week. I remember being on the end of that generosity by another man of God in the house of God, thinking, I love how God's kingdom of finance works. It's an amazing kingdom. Right. I remember driving over the Story Bridge one day and God was challenging me. Andrew, I want you to move $1,000 out of your savings account and go bless another ministry. I'm driving along. No, I've got it allocated for something else, God. No, just wrestling. No, no, no. And then having a worship playlist song on. It was probably a KCC song, of course it was. And I just remember finding myself spontaneously crying, overwhelmed by the presence of God. I'm having this presence encounter and my heart was filled with love and gratitude. And I went, oh, shut up, God. Take my money. And then I realized it wasn't my money, it was his. He asked me to make an allocation. It's just these encounters, God working in us, receiving generosity, moving to new dimensions of faith. A week ago, I randomly ran into an old IT colleague of mine, and he's given me permission to tell this story. He just set up his own company. He was going contracting. He was part of a church in the Western Corridor. It was a moment, a Sunday like this, and the pastor was saying, "This is what we're going to do with the building." And he felt God say to him, "Young guy, Paul, I want you to give me all the money that's in your bank account." And he knew it was true, but he wrestled with it. And put up the next slide. This is how much money he had in his bank account. He had $1,873.68. This was 17 years ago. He said, "Andrew, this is a lot of money." I watch him now. He flies business class around the world. He is living the most prosperous, flourishing life with his family. He's influenced the way his business has gone. But right at the moment where he's going solo, his own company, God said, "I want you to put all your money in the bank account." So he said, "God, I want to do what you want me to do." But he says, I'm wrestling. Reminds me of Jesus talking to the man, "I have faith, but can you help my faith?" Yeah. He's on the finance committee of the church, wow. Excel spreadsheet, the last Sunday of a giving campaign. They total up the amount of money and it comes to a certain amount. And he turns to the pastor, "What was the target?" And he said, "This is the amount, but we're short. How much are we short?" And the pastor goes, $1,873.68. It's an amazing story, but it sharpens in that God, and he was crying on the phone. Oh, I was contained myself. I was, isn't that the kindness of God leading us to new levels of obedience and wisdom? I'm part of a movement, the COCINC movement. We're celebrating 50 years this year. And I put up some posts, the old days of the old West End days, Pastor Clark Taylor and all that. I had the privilege of interviewing Pastor Clark Taylor in February. I said, "Pastor Clark, how has God guided you?" And he told me a series of stories. He says, "Andrew, the first building we got was in 1974. I made an offer on the Salvation Army building. And before I realized it, I said, 'We'll offer you $35,000 cash 30 days. He says, "I can't believe it." He says, "It's a word of knowledge, Andrew." You picture $35,000 back in 1974. We're talking probably close to maybe $1 million. He goes back to his church next Sunday. "Aren't you lucky to have a pastor like me? I went church shopping and I bought us a church. Would you, if you're comfortable, would you like to partner with me and seeing God perform a miracle?" On the day the money is due, a man turns up to the church office and says, "Pastor Clark, how are we going 35 grand? He said, "We're about $9,000 short." He goes, "Are you worried?" He says, "No, God said that he would give me the money. I'm going to the bank this afternoon." The man turns up at lunchtime saying, "How you going, Pastor Clark? Have we got the money?" He says, "No, it's coming in." Anyway, about 25 minutes before Pastor Clark's got to go to the bank in the afternoon, he turns up and says, "Pastor Clark, have we got the money yet?" He goes, no, but God will turn up. I'm sure he's going to turn up. And the guy goes, "Oh, I give up. God woke me up this morning and he told me, "I've got to turn up to the church office and whatever you're short, I'm supposed to be paying." And Pastor Clark said, "I told you God would show up with the money." My wife and I, Jean, final story is this. We're in a giving campaign. We're at a C3 conference with Phil Pringle. And the night, we just turn up there to get some input. They're just great guys. And John Pierce gets up one night and he comes around the giving generosity moment. And he says, "I remember the first time I sowed a $10,000 seed. And then my heart stopped in that meeting. Jean's got no idea what's going on in my heart. And something inside me lit up like a Christmas tree, because a couple of months before in my coaching consulting practice, God had brought me some high net worth clients. And I'd add up about 10 grand, which I just put across an investment account. And as I slid that across in that account, this thought dropped into me. Out of 2 Corinthians 9, God gives seed to the sower and bread for eating. I said, I love bread. And I said, "Get behind me, Satan." You know? And I remember there that night, and I was lying in bed that night, and I was almost tormented by this thought. The next day, and I put it aside, the next day we walk in and it's their annual giving campaign, a bit like this. And they say, "It's time to bring pledges. It's time to make an investment in the kingdom of God now." And I turned to Jan. I said, baby, full disclosure, I haven't been fully honest with you. God's been talking to me for some time about I want to make a $10,000 above and beyond investment. And I said, can we just pray about it? All I'm asking you to do, babe, is praying about it. That lazy 10 in that investment fund. And we prayed, and then she looked at me and she went, let's do it. Let's do it. Can I say, friends, since that day, and we prayed, and then we named our seed, since then, our life has gone to a whole nother level. Like, if you know my life before and after, in terms of equity acceleration, rental cash flow income, we're able to bless our close family, and we live a life that people text message me going, how do I live a life that you are living? If only you knew the journey of stewardship and faith. Friend, it's not about the money. It's about what God wants to do in your life. And I say these stories, friends, not to impress you, but to impress upon you, this is a Kairos moment, season in the life of your church. This is an opportunity for you to step out on the water like I've done many times in an effort to honour my God and to grow in my faith, to become like Him, and to literally feed the very greenhouse that has nurtured my faith in God and my spirituality. I believe for some of you, this season, you're going to sow a seed by faith, and it's going to be a generous seed. And literally, you are going to unlock the transmission of intergenerational blessing into your family. I prophesy that today. God wants to raise the level of your faith. He wants to raise the level of your allegiance, because God wants to do a mighty work in you and through you and in the life of your church. Pastor Fred, in Jesus' name.
Come on, can we honor Pastor Andrew one more time? Just brilliant. Just brilliant. Man, I felt my heart stirring. Words like allegiance. Stop that. Just fantastic. And we honor you guys again. Thank you for loving this church. Thank you for looking after me, Pastor A. Thank you for, you know, being a part of making sure this church is safe. We really appreciate it. One more time, can we just honor them? Just great. It's great. I think, it's so interesting. I love that, a Kairos moment, a pivotal moment in the church. And I'm going to finish up in a second, but I guess I wanted to tell you to finish why I'm giving today. Outside of a bunch of scriptures and the obvious benefit of a new facility, I wanted to tell you, and I was thinking about it probably 2 weeks ago, I was like, Lord, outside of the obvious things like being the senior pastor and being a Christian and blah, 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 why am I giving today? And He said to me, well, Fred, I think it's your third point in your sermon from Sanctuary. So I didn't remember it. I went back and looked at it. It was just the point that people matter to God. People matter to God. And so I sat in my study at home and I started thinking about some of our people, which is dangerous, dangerous to do. You get very weepy. But I've got a few reasons today that I think are very great reasons that I'm giving into this pledge today. The first reason I thought of was Mike and Wilma. I thought about Mike and Wilma, and I thought about the other day. Mike and Wilma are on our eldership at the church, and the other day I was pretty stressed. I don't know if people knew or not, but I was just in SP headspace, and I was outside, and Mike put his arm around me and he pulled me close, and if I'm being honest, for a second I was like, Mike, I've got to, you know, in my head I was like, Mike, I've got to go do stuff, and he pulled me close and he just said, young fella, doing a good job. I tell you, I could have just burst into tears. I was like, I went from being in a rush to being like, am I? And he went on to say just a couple of things. He just fathered me for 2 minutes. Yeah. And I moved on. And I thought, man, isn't it cool that an amazing couple that been on eldership at a mega church down in Sydney can come and essentially retire but guide and steer the things of God. Yeah. Second thing I thought of was Isaac in Georgia, whose middle last name I will not even attempt. Elekentikiti. But I thought about the first time I saw Isaac in particular at church. I don't know where they are. There he is. And he looked sour, man. Whoa. I was looking at him and he was in worship and he looked like he just didn't look very happy. And I think of the journey they've gone on and the friendship they've built with the Bennetts and the investment they've put into their family and their marriage and their careers. And I think, man, I'm so proud of them, but I hope there's 15, 20, 30, 40 more stories like that this year. I hope it just continues and continues. And it's not just about them. You see little Lawrence running around with his curly hair, full of joy and life. And it's a good reason to build something. I think of Dan Bullis, who's, yeah, we love you, Dan. And I think of, he's not here today. I texted him about, can I share a bit of, and he said, oh, I'm not here. I'm just down supporting mum because his dad passed away 2 weeks ago. And what's crazy to me is the week his father passed away, he was still here at church. He was smiling and asking me what I was talking about that week. People like that are a great reason. And the reason I'm giving today. Think about Paris and Harley, who are currently gallivanting through Italy. They actually took that photo in Italy. I was like, Paris, can I share a photo of you and Harley? She's like, we just took one. But I do think about, and this is all said with permission, a guy who's super in the world and into drugs and gangs and a divorcee who was questioning everything in life, who now serve weekly, run a life group, pastor people, love people. It's a great reason to give. Because people matter to God. I think about Ethan from our youth ministry, whose photo we're not going to show because he is a minor. Felicity's so good, she doesn't even give me last names. This is what Ethan said. A few years ago, I moved states and I started to have some really bad mental health problems. There were several times where I thought about suicide. My parents forced me to go to youth 1 week, well done, to try and make some friends outside of my school. And looking back on it, I can see that God was with me the entire time, even though I didn't believe in Him. He put people in my life and ended up saving me. A couple months later, I gave my life to Christ. A few months more, I got baptized. Ethan's a great reason to give today. Tony and Zeke, part of our youth ministry as well. When these brothers first joined the church, they were struggling with a lot of heavy mental stuff, but they found freedom in Jesus and no longer struggle with this. They went from not wanting to live and feeling depressed to serving at youth on Fridays and Sunday, and they've been currently bringing friends to youth, and they're saying Jesus needs to free them. People matter to God. Another reason I'm giving today is my parents. And this is a twofold thing is I'm giving. Also, Pastor Rob will be here tonight. He's currently being granddad, and my beautiful mum, true to her nature, is currently in Perth looking after my granddad. But twofold. One, I'm giving today because they put that in me. They told me that that's the right thing to do. And similar to some of Pastor A's stories, they, I wouldn't say made me, but let's say made me tithe from my first job. And so it became a lifestyle and a habit. And the second reason I'm giving today is I don't want the 9 odd years that they ran that church, this church, to just be a thing. I actually want to keep building it and keep growing it and keep expanding it. And so in their twilight years, we can say, hey, guys, this wouldn't be here without you. These tens of thousands of salvations wouldn't be here without you. And I was thinking of another reason, and the last one I'll say for sake of time today that I'm giving, and that's my daughter. And I'm giving today because I can't look at that. I'm giving today because I want Micah Joy to grow up in a place of God. And I want her to grow up in a church where no matter what she decides to be, whether she decides to be a preacher or if she decides to go down a different avenue and preach, Her other options are a striker for the Matildas. But whatever that little squishy, adorable human decides to do, whether she's a mum, whether she's a lawyer, whether she's a teacher, whether she's a preacher, whatever she decides to do, she will grow up with friends and family in a God-filled environment, but not a stagnant one. She would grow up going, man, every year that goes by, this God must be pretty big. This Jesus must be pretty faithful. Because every time mum and dad talk about things, it happens. And every time we step out in faith as a family, it seems to work, and you'd be surprised at what even 4, 5, and 6-year-olds retain and they see. And so far be it from me to be one thing on a platform and to stir something in a group of people, but not have that stirred in me. We can have all the reasons and verses and vision and sexy 3D renders we want, but at the end of the day, God just looks at people. He just looks at people's hearts. And he just wants his prodigals to come home. And that's what we're attempting to do. And I believe, and I've preached from this verse many times this year, that if we would consecrate ourselves under God, if we would give God our allegiance, what does it say in Joshua? Tomorrow I'll do wonders among you. Kyles, why don't you come up? We're gonna take up an offering now. Like, oh, I thought we take it up and do it. So you'll see on your seat one of these things, and Katie, you can pop the buckets out on the stage. And what we're going to do is this. I just want to outline nice and clearly what we're going to do is, in a moment, Carly and Abby are going to do a song, and this song is called The Church I Grew Up In. And the experience won't resonate for everyone. That's okay. It's a beautiful song, and the presence of God will be here. But many of us did grow up in church, and church sometimes gets a bad rap, and church sometimes does do the wrong thing because it's full of people. But I want to tell you, as a pastor's kids, I have so many beautiful memories of growing up in church, of growing up listening to worship music, of connect groups that didn't finish till late, falling asleep under church chairs, always having a crew of kids to play with in kids' church. And this song kind of captures that. So what we're going to do is, this is a pledge card. And so how it's going to work is you're going to put your name and your email and your phone. And I understand some people like to be anonymous, but and that's okay if you really feel to do that. Only the accounts team and the board will see these, and it just makes it a bit easier to tally if you could put your details. You can put down a weekly giving, you can put down a monthly giving, or just a one-time gift, or a one-time gift that gets paid off over time. I know for me, full disclosure, I had a number, and then I made a terrible decision. I went and had coffee at Ivy and Lark with Pastor Andrew Staggs, and halfway, and can I just say, just the number was pretty big, and Andrew halfway through just goes, I don't want to offend, but I just feel like God. And he said, I can't even remember what he said, but it moved my heart, and it was truth, and it was annoying, and it was frustrating. I honor you, Pastor. But it's, and so I'm right here with you. I'm going to have to pay mine off. I don't have it lazily sitting somewhere, but I just know that as we do this, as we partner together, no matter the amount, God's going to move. So I want to encourage you as you listen to this song to fill this out. Some people may have already given, I guess a bit of a celebration, not a guess, a celebration is we haven't even taken up the offering yet and 90,000 has come in already. Yeah, so praise God. And that's just through 5 people, couples. Praise God. So we're like 1/5 there. So come on, church. Everyone's like, oh, we're good. It's fine. We're going to listen to this song, and I encourage you to fill this out. Listen to God. And then what I'd like you to do is a step of faith. We're not being showy. We're not. But I'd love you to come out to the altar and just put it in. Because remember what we talked about last week. We're not just building a church in North Brisbane. We're building an altar. So I'd ask you to come and put your sacrifice on the altar. So we're going to receive. I'm going to come down there, and me and Anna are going to fill ours out as well. And then we're going to come and we'll finish up and pray. So enjoy the worship, and we'll fill these out.
Thank you so much for listening in. We pray that this message from our church community encouraged you, and we pray that you have a blessed week.